52 DR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Morgan Norwood. The FBI now searching another of President Biden's home in Delaware, this one in Rehoboth Beach, as part of the investigation into handling of classified material. The president's personal lawyer calls it a planned search. The Fed is set to raise interest rates again today. A 0.25% hike is expected. The funeral for Tyre Nichols in Memphis is today, pushed to this afternoon due to bad weather and travel delays. Still, the investigation into his police beating death is ongoing.
Many activists, including Reverend Al Sharpton, other activists as well, and Vice President Kamala Harris is planning to attend, as well as the families of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, who were killed by police. Their families are expected to attend the funeral, which has just been pushed back to 2 o'clock Eastern time, 1 o'clock local, because of the weather here in Memphis.
ABC's Stephanie Ramos. This is ABC News. At the White House today, President Biden meeting with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy on raising the debt limit.
The two sides are already trading barbs, but the president says that McCarthy is beholden to off-the-wall commitments he made to the far right. McCarthy says the president is playing politics, so this is going to be quite a meeting, but I would not expect much progress here today.
ABC's Mary Bruce in Washington. The former head of bankrupt cryptocurrency exchange FTX is now barred from getting in contact with any of his former workers.
The judge modified the terms of Sam Bankman-Fried's release on bond to prohibit him from contacting former employees of the crypto exchange he founded, FTX, unless he's in the presence of his attorneys. The judge also blocked him from using Signal and other encrypted messaging apps. Federal prosecutors had said these limitations were necessary because Bankman-Fried had reached out to, among others, the general counsel of FTX. The defense characterized the outreach as innocuous, but to prosecutors it seemed designed to influence potential witness testimony in his criminal case. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
Morgan Norwood, ABC News.
Push our button, and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. A federal judge ruled that a civil rights lawsuit against Kyle Rittenhouse in the city and county of Kenosha can go forward. Rittenhouse shot 3 men in August of 2020 during the protests in Kenosha. 2 of those men, Anthony Huber and Joseph Rosenbaum, died. Rittenhouse was acquitted on all counts. Huber's family has filed a civil rights lawsuit to hold Rittenhouse and the police accountable for Huber's death. You could get a text message confirmation when your absentee ballot is received in the future. A new bill being circulated in the Wisconsin State Legislature, co-authored by Republican representatives, voters can already check on the status of their ballot at the myvote.wi.gov website. Adding a text message option would cost $25,000 to implement, an additional $10,000 to $30,000 per year to operate. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Do your priorities for the country match the president's? Listen live as Joe Biden lays out his plans during the State of the Union address February 7th, starting at 8 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station. Then stay with us as News Director Terry Bell and guests break down and share reaction to the policies the president presents. You can join the conversation too. The State of the Union address live with coverage from 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday, February 7th on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes. Good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Attorney Fred Gordon, and former alderman in the city of Milwaukee, who now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're talking about, you know, it's Black History Month, so I reached out to Fred because, you know, some things that happened in the city of Milwaukee that I think that many people in this listening audience would be amazed to find out. You know, and so we're going to be doing that throughout this month, bringing people like Fred Gordon on to talk about the history of this state and Black people in it. And before we go back, Fred, you know, what we want people to understand, too, is back during those times, we kind of had our own Bull Connor, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Harold Breyer and that police
Harold
department.
Harold Breyer was the chief of police, and he ran a very tight ship, as they used to say back in the day, in the sense that you had a small number of African Americans, and I don't think they had any Latin people on the force during that time. And he ran the city. I remember vividly during those times when the mayor, Henry Meyer, said emphatically that there's nothing that I can do to stop Harold Breyer from doing what he does.
Right.
And, you know, that was an admission that was very shocking at the time. And essentially, he ruled the city, and certainly the segregation that was pronounced at that time was due in large part to the control that the police exercised over the African-American community, and in many communities still existing here at this point in time in America.
Yeah, so let's go back to the open housing and the fact that, you know, schools, the schools that were created to address this, the segregation in the schools.
Yes, well, what happened, Earl, is, as you may recall as well, is that from 1965 to 1967, there was a lot of activism. There were marches, there were boycotts, there were sit-ins. The NAACP, and more importantly, the NAACP Youth Council, spearheaded what was, as I indicated earlier, called direct action. Instead of just complaining about it and crying about it, the determination was to get into the streets, to march. We were taking our cues from what we saw happening in other cities around the country, particularly in the South. Dr. King came to Milwaukee during that period of time.
So several times.
Dick Gregory.
Several times.
Yes. Dick Gregory was very much involved in helping to publicize what was going on and certainly marched with us. You know, I was like 13, 14, 15 years old. And the youth council at that time was spearheaded by Father James Grappi. And, you know, as you know, during that period, there was a coalition of activists, black and white, who were working together to bring attention, you know, to these segregated situations in America. And the Catholic Church was very much involved at that time in leading that. Father Grappi, as we called him, marched with us, organized, and spearheaded the resistance to the laws that were being perpetrated upon the African-American community, and the fact that, for the most part, all black people lived in one area of the city. And that's why the open housing, the fair housing laws that were being put forth by then Alderwoman Bill Phillips and others were contentious, because essentially they wanted to keep black folks in our place. And as long as we stayed in our place and did what we were told, then we wouldn't have any problems. But obviously that wasn't the case. So in 1966, I recall vividly, the marches had started to ramp up. And, you know, I was a kid. I got involved because the NAACP Youth Council of Freedom House was right behind where I used to live. And I spent a lot of time over there and got involved and got to marching. That's where my political consciousness began. And, you know, as a teenager, you know, I was reading James Baldwin and, you know, Dr. King's speeches, and all kinds of activity were going on. So the marches across the 6th Street Viaduct was the first time that I had ever marched. You know,
Fred,
in a civil rights march.
I know, but so Fred, before we get to the viaduct, what people need to understand is the viaduct was like a dividing line.
Yes.
White.
Yes, the viaduct was.
Go ahead.
The viaducts, and there was more than one too. The viaduct separated, you know, the black community from the white community. It separated the north side, where most black folks live, from the south side, where most white folks live during that period of time.
Right.
So no black people ever crossed the viaduct unless they were going to work or, you know, had some business over there, and very few black folks had business on the south side. So as a result, the viaduct was the dividing line. So to march across the viaduct was a big deal. And marches were organized and commenced, and there were several marches. There were marches every day, as I recall. And every time we got to a certain point, there was resistance, you know, by white people who did not want us, quote, invading, unquote, their neighborhoods.
So, Fred, people might want to know, were these marches just with black people, and how large were they?
Oh, no, they were not just solely black folks. During that period of time, as you recall, Earl, integration was starting to proliferate. We always had the opportunity to coalesce with like-minded white people.
Right.
There weren't a lot of them, but there were some. And as a result, we did have white marchers. And again, I have to give the church at that time credit, because Father Grappi was the leader. You know, think about this. You know, we had a white priest who was leading the black struggle.
Yes.
At that time.
Yes.
And as a result, you know, there were other priests, Lutheran priests, Catholic priests in other cities that were doing the same thing. So that's what focused the attention of the world, really, on the city of Milwaukee, that you had this white priest who was leading these black folks on marches across the viaduct to City Hall and downtown Milwaukee. And as a result, Milwaukee became an epicenter of the struggle.
So Fred,
and the attention was being brought to bear, you know, on the conditions in the city.
So, Fred, hang on a second. Let's go to the phone lines and Andy from Beaver Dam. Hey, good morning, Andy. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, I moved to Milwaukee in 65 from my hometown, and everything you're describing is right. The Father Grappi would lead every day a group of African-Americans and other people over the 16th Viaduct Bridge over the Menominee River Valley into the Polish, what used to be the Polish section of Milwaukee. And of course, these guys over there, the white guys, they'd be waiting for him, and they would, this was a peaceful demonstration. But a lot of times those guys would, you know, throw rocks at him or, you know, or just, they'd really get mad, you know, at the demonstrators and get them crazy. As far as Breyer was concerned, you know, cops in the mid-60s always looked like, you know, they'd have the hats and all that stuff. Though that everything crescendoed by 67 after the riots when they closed the city down. All of a sudden the cops are wearing helmets and riot gear, and they'd open up the doors of their police cars and they'd have shotguns stuck in a holster in the door. I mean, they were totally armed, you know, ready, hell-bent for whatever would come their way, you know. And like you said, Breyer would rule with an iron hand. He was the guy, you know. I mean, I don't think he had a whole lot of use for the African-American community, you know. He was a hardliner, you know. But it was definitely a time of change and revolution and whatever, and everybody, you know, wanted to be able to, you know, live wherever they wanted to go. They wanted to be kept to one sector of the city, you know.
Hey, Andy.
That would be my observation.
Hey, Andy, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Fred?
The result, it was very exciting for a young person like myself, because I was becoming aware of who I was as a black person. I was reading, and I remember vividly that when I joined the NAACP Youth Council, and, you know, some of my friends, a lot of my friends were also involved, the marches were a major thing. It was being covered by, you know, the networks, because as we were talking the other day, there were only three television networks in existence at that time. So, as a result, you had a lot of attention being brought to bear on the city of Milwaukee. Because at that time, Earl, as you know, the city of Milwaukee was, you know, it was a Polish-German populated city,
right,
with a very small African-American community. You know, black folks came to Milwaukee after the Great Migration in the late 50s. So it was one of the last cities to have an influx of African-American folks from the South to come up for the jobs, because at that time there were many, many jobs that were available to people. So as the caller was saying, the white folks would throw rocks and bricks and epithets at us and would charge us when we marched across the viaduct. So it's funny now, because they would literally run us back across the viaduct to Wisconsin Avenue.
So, Fred, because we unfortunately, we got to go to a break again quickly. But one would probably ask, what were the police doing during this time? Were they protecting the people coming across the...
Ty Christian from Lords of the Trident. Can you say Max Inc. Radio rocks, Jimmy K. is awesome in Japanese?
Sure. Let's see. How do I say rocks? Let me see. Sugoi! Max Inc. Radio wa sugoi datta omoimasu. I just said you're great, you know.
Thank you. You're great too.
Original local music from Wisconsin. It's Max Inc. Radio on Civic Media. Saturday night, 6 p.m. to midnight. We are local music.
Pat, I
feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast. A wind chill advisory begins at 11 p.m. tonight and continues until noon tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun this afternoon with a chance of flurries. Daytime highs approaching 20. Northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, lows around 7 below. 5 above tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 19.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
This afternoon, otherwise a blend of clouds and sun. Highs level off around 24. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tonight. Lows level off around 8 below. High of 7 above. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. On the line, my good friend, attorney Fred Gordon and former alderman of the city of Milwaukee. He now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. But Fred, before we went to break, we were talking about the viaduct. We were talking about the fact that peaceful marches were set to cross the viaduct, and there was opposition on the other end. I think there were certainly, at one point in time, I think I read 10,000 people who were going to march across that viaduct. On the other side of the viaduct waiting were angry Polish and German people who did not want people. And so why was the viaduct chosen to cross? Was it because knowing that those vicious people were on the other side to prove a point?
Well, there was certainly knowledge of resistance coming from people who did not want black folks in their neighborhood.
Right.
And as I indicated earlier, the viaducts were the separating lines between the north side and the south side of the city. And that particular viaduct was chosen because once you crossed it, you were right there on the south side. Everything changed. And, you know, growing up, when you went across the viaducts to the south side,
it didn't go.
It was like a whole new world.
Right. Didn't go.
You know, so as a result, the strategy was to confront that reality and to march there. Because at that time, as I was saying earlier, the fair housing legislation for the city of Milwaukee was being debated by the Milwaukee Common Council. And Bill Phillips was leading the charge from the legislative aspect. Father Grappi was all about direct action. And because he was a white Catholic priest, he got attention from the media. And he was very smart and very skillful in using the media to promote what was being done as far as direct action was concerned and the marches that were taking place. And our strategy was to march every day until the legislation at the city level was passed. And that's what we did. And the response was, and you mentioned earlier, Earl, that the police, they were there. And I'll never forget it because, you know, they stood in formation. A lot of cops, probably anywhere from 100 to 100 cops or more. And they stood there with their batons ready and said nothing, did nothing, while all this chaos was going on. Because, you know, I had never been called the N-word until I marched across the Viaduct in my life. So as a result, that was obviously a shock to my system. But because we were committed to that aspect of the struggle, as we called it, we continued to march.
You know, Fred, as I think back, the over 200 days the marches went on in the city of Milwaukee. And why that's significant, Fred, is it's not like it's in Florida. The weather changes, right?
Yep.
And even during that inclement weather, the people continue to march.
Yes, absolutely. We got our impetus to do that from the Montgomery bus boycott, which lasted, as you know, for over a year, where people, you know, in the South, in Montgomery, Alabama, stopped riding the buses because of having to ride in the back of the bus and because of the protest that Rosa Parks was involved in. But no, the marches went on because people were committed. And again, the world was watching. You know, Milwaukee started to become more known for, you know, its segregated and racist policies because of that. And because Father Grappi was in the forefront, made it possible for the media to say, oh, this is newsworthy. But the marches continued until the legislation was finally passed. And as a result, you know, you look at what's happening now in Milwaukee, and things are different, but not that much different.
No, you know, Fred, what people need to really focus on is that at the root of these marches was the fact that black people were locked into a certain segment of the city where we could buy houses and could not, and were locked out of the constitutional rights. You're an attorney. Man, the fact that people, even based on what was right and what was wrong, and their constitutional rights were blatantly being disavowed, the fact that we had to go through all of that is pretty amazing to me.
Well, not only is it amazing, girl, it's instructive of the fact that that took place during that period of time. We now have legislation to basically do whatever it is that we want to do, but the mentality and the mindset of those in control is still the same. Witness what's happening in the state of Florida.
Right.
Here we are celebrating Black History Month, and legislation has been passed in the state of Florida and endorsed by the governor saying that we can't learn about our history because it'll make white folks uncomfortable.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
ABC News, I'm Morgan Norwood. The FBI now searching another of President Biden's home in Delaware, this one in Rehoboth Beach, as part of the investigation into handling of classified material. The president's personal lawyer calls it a planned search. The Fed is set to raise interest rates again today. A 0.25% hike is expected. The funeral for Tyree Nichols in Memphis is today pushed to this afternoon due to bad weather and travel delays. Still, the investigation into his police beating death is ongoing.
Many activists, including Reverend Al Sharpton, other activists as well, and Vice President Kamala Harris is planning to attend, as well as the families of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, who were killed by police. Their families are expected to attend the funeral, which has just been pushed back to 2 o'clock Eastern time, 1 o'clock local, because of the weather here in Memphis.
ABC's Stephanie Ramos. This is ABC News.
Never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
For dinners, where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Remember the last time your family visited the forest? It's a place of wonder and imagination for the whole family, where stories come to life, and it's closer than you think. Ready to plan your next visit? Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, Fox Valley, if you've got a favorite supper club, we're your station, Civic Media.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. What a busy time this has been for Republicans to lay out their vision, their priorities, and plans. In Tennessee, that includes a bill with a 6-year prison term for performing in multiple drag shows. In Florida, during Black History Month, they're making progress in banning the ability to teach freely about Black history. They're also banning books. In Arkansas, they're banning words. In Missouri, they're banning women in the legislature from having bare shoulders. And in Wisconsin, they blocked a ban on child torture known as conversion therapy. Across the 50 states, more than 200 anti-LGBTQ bills have been introduced. And the debt ceiling debate threatens to wreck the economic recovery, but Republicans won't say what they would cut. What's missing? Anything about your economic situation, the thing they said over and over last year, would be their focus. It was never going to be. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Kripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the point of random like that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Maintenance Management Plus and Suamico would like to thank the medical field, first responders, and all essential workers for always keeping America safe and strong. You've truly been the backbone of our country and deserve our admiration. As we keep moving forward, it is important to get out there and support small business, always shop local, always buy American. Maintenance Management.
A boy's born in hot damn Mississippi, surrounded by for world that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city. His father works some days for 14 hours, and you can bet he barely makes a dollar. His mother goes to scrub the floors for many, and you best believe she hardly gets a penny. Living just enough for the city. Yeah. not pretty. Her skirt is short, but Lord, her legs are sturdy. To walk to school, she's got to get up early. Her clothes are old, but never are they dirty. Living just enough for the city. Her brother's smart, he's got more sense than many. His patience long, but soon he won't have any. To find a job, it's like a haystack needle. Cause where he lives, they don't use colored people. Living just enough for the city.
Stevie Wonder, Living for the City. My guest is Fred Gordon, Attorney Fred Gordon, former alderman and, you know, and friend. And we're talking about those really impressionable times, Fred, that, you know, kind of made us who we are. You know, before we went to break, man, we were talking about the fact that all people wanted to do, man, you're an attorney. All people wanted was what the nation said, you know, we had a right to. And yet the fact that people had to fight. And Fred, in many instances, as you just stated in what the commercials that the news that we heard before we got back on the air, that there are people right now still fighting, still attempting to prevent citizens of this nation who fought, bled, and died for it to have equal and fair opportunities and representation in this country.
I think that what you're seeing in Florida and other states around the critical race theory debate and the suppression of the opportunity to teach and have discourse, intelligent discourse, you know, about America's past is reflective of what we were marching for and what we were fighting for. And there's a slogan that Howard Fuller used to use, and I use it myself, called Aluta Continua. It's the struggle continues. And I think that that's the way it's going to be, certainly for, you know, the rest of our lives, because, you know, we're getting older, and the young people who are now in the vanguard of, you know, dealing with these direct action, marching, protesting, it's up to them to continue to struggle, continue to fight, because the retrenchment on the civil rights that were legislated in the 60s, are now, that's still going on. It's stronger than it ever was, in my opinion. We have legislation, we have laws on the books, but the reality is that for people of color in America, you still can't get a loan from a bank. You still have issues in terms of where you'd like to live. There's still roadblocks and walls that keep us apart. So, yeah, it's still a struggle. It'll always be. as long as we are in America. And I think that it's important for us as the elders to teach our children, to teach young people. And I think that that is going to be what our role is, because we remember what it was like. We've seen advances. We've seen progress in many, many respects. But then you look at what happened with Tyre Nichols,
right,
in Memphis. And I tell you, man, those cops, they would have fit right into Harold Breyer's squad back in the 60s.
Fred, people who are listening may not believe that, but what those guys did used to happen with law enforcement in the city of Milwaukee. They used to have what they call an elevator ride. Remember that?
That's right. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
You know, they were... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Fred.
The police repression that took place in Milwaukee during that period of time was so ingrained, you know, in the psyche of people of color, black people, that
terrifying.
You knew where not to be.
Yes.
Even though they didn't have those sundown laws in the South, in the North, you knew where not to be after a certain period of time. And we learned very, very quickly where you could go and where you could not go. And if you went there, you should go in a group so that, you know, there would be witnesses.
So, Fred, you just talked about something called a sundown law. In this state, in the state of Wisconsin, let's talk about what a sundown law was, because some may argue it still exists.
Oh, absolutely. The sundown laws originated in the South. And basically, there were towns where it was posted on billboards and signs. Colored people, be at home or be out of town by sundown, or you would get arrested. And if you got arrested, you'd be in jail. And you would get your butt kicked.
Right.
And that was the reality. And, you know, we know all about, you know, the Green Book and the travels that black folk took from various places in the country when they were traveling in the South, you know, during the heights of segregation. And that was a reality in Milwaukee. I mean, in Wisconsin. You knew what was going on. And, you know, remember the Posse Comitatus?
Yes, you know.
Yes, that started in Wisconsin. And it was basically, you know, armed white folk who wanted to keep black folk from leaving, you know, the city of Milwaukee or wherever black folks live and going north, going up north. So that is a real history of racism in Wisconsin and in this country.
So,
and
Fred,
it still persists.
And the thing is, what people should know is we're not talking about 100 years ago, right?
No.
No, you know, it's pretty recent history. And yet, you know, Wisconsin's still one of the most segregated states in the United States. It has not changed from that perspective. And since black people only make up 5% of the population in the state, you always hear that people are afraid in the state, you know, of black people. But Fred, why? I mean, what have black people done in the state of Wisconsin to impact and affect whites across the state? Do you know of any situations where we've gone into these different areas, segregated areas of the state, and pounced upon white people, raped white women, or you know, robbed?
No, that's never been the case, and it never will be the case. And as a result, the fear mongering that has existed throughout this country's history is still being perpetrated in many respects. You know, as I spoke about the critical race theory controversy, you know, that's a symptom of that. Why would you not want to teach people about history and not include what happened to people of color in this country? And now you want to spare white people's feelings, white children's feelings, because the controversy is so ridiculous. The courses that are being offered at the college level, because I don't know about you, but I really learned about history, about our history, you know, when I went to college.
So, Fred, hang on.
I was in high school, man, we never studied history.
So let's bring
some... We never studied slavery.
Fred, let's bring some callers on quickly. Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Hey, good morning, Cassandra. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, Fred, I am very much enjoying your commentary today. There are two points that I would like to get your opinion on. Number one, I agree with you about the African-Americans studies class. I did not get that information on the history of my ancestors until I enrolled in a course in college and also in graduate school. However, I think what the media is doing, they're not disclosing the full information about the course. DeSantis, he is a bigot, in my personal opinion. However, the course developers, they did not follow the instructions about what the state had wanted for the course. They wanted an African-American history class, not an African-American studies class. So some of the units that they were offering, it really did not meet the standards. I'm a professor. Whenever I design a course, I have to abide by the program and the course objectives, and the individuals who wrote the course, they really didn't do that. My second point that I want to ask you is, if you've been following the migrant protest movement in New York, and here is something that concerns me as an African-American female. The migrants who are out there protesting in New York because they do not want to move into what they feel are inferior accommodations, those migrants, they have that right to protest because our ancestors in the civil rights movement fought for their ability to exercise their free voice. Now, as African Americans, we are not getting involved in the immigration argument, and it is having an impact, especially on black males in employment in construction and the other trades. And so I just like to get your point of view, and I'm going to listen off the air because I have to get ready for work, but very much enjoying your commentary.
Hey, Cassandra, thank you very much for the call. Fred, hang on. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Skyscraper and everything.
Hey, brother. Hey, come here, Slick. Huh? Hey, you look hip, man. Hey, you want to make yourself $5, man?
Yeah, bro.
Hey, look here. Run this car speed for me right quick, okay? Run this car speed for me.
Do your priorities for the country match the president's? Listen live as Joe Biden lays out his plans during the State of the Union address February 7th, starting at 8 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station. Then stay with us as News Director Terry Bell and guests break down and share reaction to the policies the president presents. You can join the conversation too. The State of the Union address live with coverage from 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday, February 7th on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Enjoy a valued career. Take your maintenance experience to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo has rare openings and invites you to its job fair Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 p.m. at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Information at PepsiCoJobs.com.
Here's your updated forecast. A wind chill advisory begins at 11 p.m. tonight and continues until noon tomorrow. A few flurries possible at times this afternoon, otherwise partly cloudy skies. Daytime highs approaching 20, northwest winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 7 below. Tomorrow, high of 5 above. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 19.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind chill advisory begins at 11 p.m. tonight and continues until noon tomorrow. A few flurries possible at times this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 24, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 8 below tonight, mainly clear. Mainly sunny skies again tomorrow, 7 above. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Attorney Fred Gordon is on the line. Fred, you want to respond to Cassandra?
And thank her for her comments. The immigration issue is a very important issue because even though as black folk we're not necessarily involved in it to the extent that others may be, we clearly understand its import. And here in North Carolina, where I live, it's a major issue because immigrants and Latin folks from other countries have come to North Carolina, and they're doing the jobs that black folk used to do. And that's something that certainly should spur, you know, some conversation. Because it certainly is talked about here, and it's very apparent. I've noticed that I've lived now for 8 years, and it's one of the first things that I noticed when I moved here. And that is something that obviously is going to be debated and dealt with on the border. But those folks are moving throughout the South, and, you know, they're taking the jobs. And they're doing the kind of work that black folk used to do, but don't do anymore. And, of course, they're doing it for less money in many respects. But, you know, for them, coming from where they came from, it's a major move up. So it's something that we should pay attention to. because I think that there's a lot of similarity between how they're being oppressed and how we're being oppressed.
You know, Fred, she also talked about the CRT, and you mentioned something about that earlier.
Yes.
Now, she's a professor, and
I believe I know her. I recognized her voice.
Okay. So, but
yeah, no. What's happening with the CRT, man? It's incredible.
Yeah,
I was listening to D.L. Hughley last night, and he made a statement about the fact that white folks are now trying to prevent us from learning about our history, when in the 50s, before Brown versus the Board of Education, they didn't want us to learn anything. So you see the dichotomy that's taken place just in a, like we were saying earlier, in a relatively short period of time.
You know, Fred, and the fact that it's acceptable. Let's do this. Let's bring Tom from L.A. Tom, quickly.
Well, I want to say this conversation is excellent. I didn't realize, being someone that was from the northwestern part of Wisconsin, that there was an actual kind of movement to not allow black people actually to move up into the northern part of Wisconsin. I think that people sometimes in Wisconsin think because, they love the Green Bay Packers and most of those guys are black, that means that they're not racist. Whereas if they had a family that was moving from Milwaukee into their small little rural area, maybe it would have an issue. I don't know. It seems to me that there need to be more people from Milwaukee, and maybe more black people need to move into these areas. So therefore, people will actually, not fear out of some tripped up stereotype or some type of crazy ideas that they have. But it's the fear that's holding them back. And I think we do need to integrate by actually, getting more people, seeing other than just the Green Bay Packers on their Sunday, black people in the upper part of the Midwest and in the upper part of the northwestern part of Wisconsin.
Hey, Tom, man. Thank you very much for the call. Fred?
I think he's right in the sense that the perception of how we as citizens interact with each other is certainly buttressed by what we see and what we hear through the media. And, shows like this, forums, anything that we can do to educate each other, because it's not just black folks trying to educate white people. It's black folks educating black folks.
Yes.
It's black folks educating Latin people and vice versa. Education is the key, because knowledge is power, as the saying goes. And before you can get power, you have to know what power is.
So let's do this. So, Fred, I'm going to be reaching out to you again because there's so much more dialogue for us to have. Man, I want to thank you very much for taking out the time. But I'm going to be reaching out again. We're just beginning the month, and I need to have your voice heard more. You be willing to do that?
Oh, always a pleasure, brother. We only have 26 days, yeah. 27 days.
But we're going to use them well. Thank you very much, man.
We got to use them.
All right, got to run.
All right, brother.
All right, we'll be back.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back.
Hey, Earl, do you hear me?
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can. GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Rick Smith Show.
where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.